This is IA Forward, your playbook for success as an independent insurance agent. Here to help you knock it out of the ballpark are your hosts, Shane Tatum and Tanya Lead.
Welcome to IA Forward. In our last podcast, we talked a lot about the strike zone. For our non-sports listeners, I'm not going back there. Where I'm headed to now is the comfort zone. Now, what really made me think of this is I looked up a little while ago and Marybelle, the 3.8-pound chihuahua, had brought into my office three different velvet blankets. I didn't even know that we had three blankets that were accessible to her right now. Usually there are two. There's one on the sofa and there's one on the ground in whatever room that one of us is in. So right now in my office, she has three blankets, a giant stuffed animal, and three squeaky toys all piled into her bed. I was just looking at her thinking, exactly how comfortable do we need to get on a random day? I don't even know what to say about the level of spoiled whatever that's going on currently in my office. But it made me think we get that way in our agency sometimes too. Things are going good, even in the market that we're in. Things are going well. We're successful, we're profitable, but how far in the comfort zone do we really need to stay to continue that level of success?
I've spent a lot of time on the road and in hotels here lately, and I relate to Marybelle needing to be comfortable because the first thing that came to my mind is hotel pillows. I have an ongoing fight with hotel pillows. They're either too soft and they smother you because they like curl up around your head, or they're too hard and they feel like you're basically laying your head on a sack of Quikrete. But I also relate that to this saying that I have been introduced to by travel softball coaches over the years that have spent a lot of time producing and developing Power Five college athletes. And it's this thought of you need to get comfortable being uncomfortable.
I always take Marybelle out at lunch, and she was so comfortable today that at 12:15, I went to open the door and I said, come on, let's go outside. And she just looked at me like, I'm comfortable. I'm not moving. And I'm like, no, come on, let's go outside. And I'm like outside and she just looks at me like, no. So I come back inside. I'm standing over her and she rolls over on her back for me to rub her tummy. And I'm like, okay, you've got the three blankets, the stuffed animals, the squeaky toys are in the bed, and now you want me to rub your tummy? We need to go outside. And it was like she refused. And you know she needed to go, but she was so comfortable, she was not going to do what she needed to do because she didn't want to get up and move.
That pain and agony laying there, needing to go to the restroom, was not as great as the pain of getting out of that bed and going outside. Sometimes you just fight your way through it and you just say, I'm not getting up. I'm not going to the restroom. I'm not getting up. I do think you're onto something here with this idea of, is it good in our business to be comfortable? Being comfortable can make us a little lazy. It can make us not as sharp. We can never, in the insurance agency business, really in any business for that matter, we can never just say, this is the way it's always going to be. And that is a phrase of comfort. This expectation, this mental state that the way it is the way it's always going to be. And if that happens to be a comfortable thing, then we can be caught off guard. Let's rewind to 2019 for a minute. February 2020, 4 years ago. 2019, these are comfortable times. Capacity is great. We've got access to all the carriers we need. We've got access to carriers we don't need that we're not feeding. And they're not even like complaining that we're not feeding them. They want more from us, but not to the degree of we're going to terminate you or whatever. It's just comfortable for independent agencies. It's easy, especially for those that are really good salespeople, which is most of us. Where we went to over the course of 2020 through today has just been a series of seasons, and it's been one thing after another. those that don't get comfortable with the uncomfortable are probably needing to take a few mental health days. They are probably stressed to the hilt. And I don't think that's where we want to be. What we want to do is we want to find some comfort in always being uncomfortable and always being ahead of the curve. I like to think of it as agency owners that we should be constantly looking over the horizon.
I want to go back to your pillow problem. I totally get this. And I do travel with my own pillow when I drive. Now, when I fly, I do not do that, but I do take my own pillowcase. And I have discovered that by taking my own pillowcase, if I have to double stuff a pillow or whatever, by taking my own pillowcase, it does make it a little more comfortable.
I get it. But is there that big of a cost difference at the hotel level? Could we not just find comfortable pillows?
The allergy-free pillows, if you ask for those at the hotel when you check in, they are better than the regular pillows.
I had no idea there was allergy-free pillows.
Yes, the allergy-free, if you ask for those, they are better.
Are the allergy-free pillows only available to the bougie hotel world? Because some of us don't know the bougie hotel world.
Oh, help whatever. Us. Your wife is the queen of the four seasons. We are not going there. But I do want to say sometimes just a small shift makes all the difference. And recently in our household, we did a shift with my office. I've talked about this. And I was in a space that was very comfortable. I was in a back room. It had two small windows. It was very spacious. I had everything on my walls. It was all set up. There was really nothing wrong with it. But we shifted me to a new space that I absolutely love. I have basically have one wall of windows. I have a beautiful view of our outdoor pool cooking area. It's actually not as comfortable of a space. It's a very awkwardly shaped room. But that small shift out of comfortable into something really great has given me a mindset flip, which sounds really weird because I'm doing the same things every day. My computers are set up the same way, but it was just a little shift. I shifted out of comfortable into something new, and that something new really made everything so much better. Did I want to shift out of my comfortable space that I was already moved into? No, not really. It was a pain in the booty, honey, to have to do a little bit of construction and then move all the wires and all of that stuff. But am I really happy that we did it? Absolutely.
I'm going to contradict myself a little bit because during these days of travel, I have discovered that I am not a remote work kind of person. Now, let me define this for a second. Tanya works from home in her office in her home. I work from our office in our main location in Huntington, Texas. I don't consider Tanya to be remote, all right? So let me just define this a little bit. She's remote from me, but I'm remote from her. Now, I spent several weeks working remote from a hotel room, different time zones from where I'm normally at, not in my setting. I am not a good remote worker. I don't like it. I like for my stuff to be where it is. So I want to make sure that when we talk about what is getting out of your comfort zone or being comfortable with the uncomfortable, I want to make sure that I'm clear. That's just something that I have the flexibility to do. And most insurance agency owners and personnel might have the flexibility to do, but that's not where I want to stay. That is not what I'm talking about when I'm talking about being comfortable with the uncomfortable. And when Tanya's talking about her office moving, it was uncomfortable because it was a new office. But now every day she goes to the same office. It's just the new office and it's given her new energy and it's giving her excitement. And so it's better. Being uncomfortable meant improving for her. I have the direct opposite in that I learned something about myself in spending almost 6 weeks in a travel environment where 2 or 3 days I found myself at my traditional office desk. And then a couple of days a week, I found myself in a makeshift hotel room desk.
One of which was on the floor. That was my personal favorite. Well, we're doing a video call and he is on the floor.
I was on the floor. It disgusted my wife because she was working at the desk. I sacrificed, by the way. Chivalry's not dead. I was on the floor so she could be at the desk. The uncomfortable I'm talking about is the set in your ways to never even try. The idea that it's always going to be this way, and that is more risky. To stay in the status quo, as crazy as it sounds, is riskier than taking yourself into an uncomfortable zone and learning something new or being exposed to something new. Because what you might find is that you might find a great opportunity over the horizon into that new thing.
Shane, I tried something new 15 years ago and it didn't work.
I went on a date 15 years ago. That's why I never got married. I don't understand that mindset, but I get you. I'm with you. You are right. This is what happens sometimes. And you know what? Just because something went wrong once doesn't mean that that was the way it was always going to be. Now, I love sample sizes. One of the things that I learned out of failure is that you need enough of a sample size to decide whether or not you shouldn't do that thing again. If you tried something different 52 times and it never worked, then okay, maybe you're trying the wrong 52 things. If you tried something once and it didn't work, then that should not be the end-all be-all of your uncomfortable aspirations. There's got to be enough of an attempt to give you a sample size to decide whether or not this is a good direction or bad direction.
I have a tendency to have ideas too soon. And I've learned this over the years that if I have an idea and I implement it immediately, a lot of times the market's not ready for it yet. And I've had some failures because of it. But knowing that, having that sample size, now I have a tendency if I have an idea, I hold on to it for a few years. I don't let it go away. I keep it, but implement it later when the market is closer to being ready for it. It's not that it's a bad idea. It's not that my failures were failures, but I did learn that it's better for me to wait than try to implement too soon.
I totally relate to this as well. In 1998, we tried to establish the Integra Partner Network, and we tried to establish it with most of the same ingredients that we reestablished this in 2010. And the Integra Partner Network and this sort of idea that I'm talking about is we were going to help agents start new agencies. We were going to help captive agents become independent. We were going to help producers own agencies, start and own agencies. We were going to be a platform, an infrastructure type organization. This was in 1998. We found this software that would allow us to have a common platform, because that was one of the challenges. Think about 1998 and the internet for a second. If you're a digital native Gen Z, you don't understand life before the internet, and that's okay.
Let me give you this perspective. I graduated from college in 96, and I was the only person in my entire sorority that had their own computer. So there's your perspective of 98.
Nice. So we have this idea, to Tanya's point, and it's not a bad idea, but it technically was never going to work in 1998. The ability to implement and be successful with the idea was ahead. So we had to pivot. We became a standard lines wholesaler. We became a market access provider for a handful of standard lines carriers. We tried online insurance brokerage, but wholesaling brokerage environment. We tried all these things, which taught us a lot of lessons. Most of them were mediocrely successful. And in other words, failures. We were here, but we were surviving and we were learning. The uncomfortableness allowed us to reach the place in 2010 to launch into what I would call our successful plan, our successful window. There's a lot to the ideas coming, but they're just not ready. And sometimes you got to let them age a little bit.
But don't let it get so aged that it turns to vinegar. And that's what I'm thinking of right now when I'm talking about don't let yourself get too comfortable. Some people are turning into vinegar out there, and vinegar is icky, and vinegar is sour, and vinegar is what I'm hearing across social media right now about our market, and vinegar is what I'm hearing agents when they're talking to each other. And what do we need to do to get out of that spot of comfort especially when your spot of comfort is being gripey, into a new place.
Some of us are just gripey, okay? Mama Queen would tell you, like, there's nobody coming to save you here. Let's take a little self-assessment. Let's get off the pity party. Let's decide that the attitude of our agency is going to be dependent on our personal attitude. And if we are unwilling to navigate, be creative with the direction, try something new, make an adjustment. If we're unwilling to do that and all we're going to do is stand around and complain about the situation, then guess what our people are going to do? They're going to stand around and complain about the situation. Guess what's going to happen with the customers that you're trying to keep while you're yelling at the insurance company for going up on rates? When your people have heard you complain, they're going to complain. And then your customers are going to hear your people complain, and your customers are going to become so complaint-oriented that you're just in this vicious cycle. Do you understand your customers are calling and griping at you probably because you're griping? You started the cycle. And so let's just take a deep breath. Let's reassess. Let's make an adjustment. Let's look at the idea of we have a business. Most of us have successful businesses. We should get up excited about that. In some of the worst market conditions in history, we're having success. Maybe it's not ringing the bell sales success every day like you were doing 5 years ago when it was easy, but look at your bank account. Check out your top line growth. I understand your expenses are going up, but aren't you thankful that your top line growth is either matching or exceeding your expense growth during this inflationary cycle? Most people cannot say that.
Or think about it this way. You can just be grateful that you're not Wendy's. Wendy's CEO recently made this announcement that they were looking at this idea of going into surge pricing like Uber and Lyft have, and so that their foods were going to cost more during peak times and their food was going to cost less during times that weren't as busy for them, and just like Uber is doing. And so this seems like a good idea, and then the world blows up about this idea, and people start talking about, what if you're in line and you're watching the prices? And they even announced how much that they were investing in these new digital boards and the technology dollars they were investing to do this. And people are like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be sitting in line watching my food prices go up, and what kind of anxiety this was going to create. Burger King had a field day with it and announces they're giving away free Whoppers for all the people that are not going to be able to afford their burgers at Wendy's. And 24 hours later, Wendy's has come back and said, yeah, maybe this is not such a good idea, and we're going to take a second look at it. But the world blew up yesterday at Wendy's. Your whole world can blow up in 24 hours, and you could have every political pundit out there slamming you for wanting to keep poor people from being able to afford to eat lunch.
And look, I'm going to take a different approach on this and say kudos to the leadership for being willing to try something. Obviously, there's a lot of bad decisions from the same, what's your phrase there?
Sometimes people that have really good ideas have really bad ideas as well.
This is true. And you don't know if it's a good idea or a bad idea unless you try something. Not that I want to be that person, but kudos to the leadership for thinking differently, for thinking outside the box. Here's the contradictory that I'm going to bring to the table. The insurance industry needs stability. It needs stability in pricing. Reinsurance needs stability. We need stability from loss cost. That doesn't necessarily mean that I want you to just destabilize your people, destabilize your customer base more than you have to. What's important for us as a distribution channel in the independent agency system is that we don't become so comfortable that we can't make the adjustment, that we can't look at it and go, hey, there's a shift to surplus lines. We're going to have to take this risk there. I learned a lesson over the last 5 years when I realized that there could be this reality that the surplus lines market's going to pick up some of the risk because that's really the only place there is for it to go. And so if I'm just looking down this, it's going to be this way forever lens 5 years ago, and I'm going, I don't really want to write personal lines insurance in the E&S market. That was a true statement in 2018, 2019. I didn't. Today, it's a little bit inevitable if I'm in a coastal zone. If I'm in an area where catastrophes are more prevalent, I'm probably going to need to think about how can I be efficient with riding in excess and surplus lines. Shameless plug, just did my first live class a few weeks ago on being efficient with excess and surplus lines on the IA Forward website. Go get a subscription and check it out. The reason that was the subject that I picked was because of the market shift, what's going on in the marketplace. If we just sit here and go, nothing's ever going to be different, we're just going to be fine, just keep doing what we're doing and never look over the horizon, we're probably going to get behind the eight ball and then we're not going to like where we're at.
Sitting in the same comfort zone can even cause challenges from a personal perspective. If you're always going to the same restaurants, if you're always doing the exact same things, you can get in that same kind of rut that can create negativity, not only from a business perspective, but from a personal and even a spiritual perspective. So it may be that you start thinking about, okay, I'm going to go to one different restaurant every week, or I'm going to try a different meal, or I'm going to do something different when it comes to a Bible study. Like Shane and Julie, right now, my husband and I are doing the same Bible recap study that Shane and Julie are going through the Bible chronologically in a year. It's one of those things that, did I ever spend a lot of time in the books of Leviticus or Numbers? Did my husband, who is a biblical scholar, did he spend a lot of time in those spaces? No, but it's been interesting for us to be forced to spend time in those areas and have conversations about that, because it just guide us out of a spiritual rut of, okay, this is what I'm going to focus on. And when you're forced to focus on something else, sometimes really cool conversations can come out of it, even though it's not even something that you would have ever expected.
To just give huge praise to Tara Lee Cobble and the Bible Recap crew, this idea of reading the Bible, which is a very top five New Year's resolution things that goes on annually in the world. I was that guy. I was like, okay, I'm going to read the Bible. And you get to Leviticus, you just get stuck. It's, oh my gosh, I can't do these genealogies. I can't do this, all this stuff. And you stop. We did this for the first time in 2023 as a couple. We decided we're going to do this. And now we're doing it again for the second time. The amazing thing about getting out of the comfort zone and doing this and thinking about the Bible as a story, a complete story of God's redemption and grace, you will be amazed if you are one of those people that attends church service somewhere, you go to church and you almost feel like, I have no idea what that preacher's talking about. If you do the Bible recap and then you go to church, and the pastor preaches on something, you're going to go, I understand. I get it. That makes sense, because we look at scripture as this out of context piece of thing. And when we go through this whole process that the Bible recap has created, that Tara Lee Cobble graciously takes us through on a daily basis and explains in layman's terms, she's got the plain language movement going on, by the way. And it's just, wow. Since you brought that up, that's been one of the most maximum out of comfort zone areas for me in my life. And yet now I completely have this huge hole in my day if we miss a day of listening.
My favorite moment so far talking about the plain language movement was when she compared Sarah, Abraham's wife in the Bible, to being the J-Lo of her generation.
Loved
it. It doesn't get much more plain language than that.
Pretty plain language.
But talk about getting out of a comfort zone. And if you actually go in and watch any kind of video or read anything about Tara, this was way out of her comfort zone. She is not this grand biblical scholar that, you know, has a PhD or has her degree in theology. This was not what she did. She had an idea. She made a plan. She implemented it, and it has grown. Had the number one podcast on iTunes this year. It's absolutely phenomenal, this movement that she has created. But that's what we're talking about here, doing something within your agency. Maybe it's something small. Maybe you think you're happy with where you are, but it could just just be a little bit better. Do that one thing that moves you out of that comfort zone just a little. And when you do that, to use Shane's terminology, that flywheel starts turning, things start moving, and then it snowballs into something great.
It's incredible that we're talking about the Bible Recap at the same level of podcast as the Kelce Brothers. After the Chiefs and Taylor Swift year and all this stuff, that's where we're talking about this concept went to in only what? 4, 5, 6 years it's been out there. It hasn't been out there that long. We can learn a lot from that, from just small, I call them micro adjustments in the batter's box. You don't have to make big swings in adjustment. You don't have to hit a grand slam in your first at bat. What you need to be able to do, though, is make a slight micro adjustment in the box, a little movement, and continuing that little movement every day. I talked to my youngest daughter as softball player. I use the phrase 1% better every day, because after 30 days, you're 30% better, etc. That's the way we should apply this. If we just work on being a little bit better every day, a little bit of movement out of comfort, a little bit every day, a little bit every week on a micro level makes a big change over the course of 6 months to a year.
I'm going to leave us today with this quote from Eddie Harris Jr. The sooner you step away from your comfort zone, you'll realize that it wasn't all that comfortable.
Attitude's a choice. Make a great one.
Bye, y'all.
Ready to get the ball rolling with your independent agency? Learn more at IntegraAgent.com. That's IntegraAgent.com. Thank you for joining us on IA Forward. Make sure you never miss a show by clicking the subscribe button now, or learn more at IAForward.com.